Well, breezy onshore winds continue, and as expected, it's triggered some isolated and brief showers. Now, the rainfall amounts have not been significant, and the coverage has not been great, but a few showers developed yesterday and last evening, and even had some downpours in very localized areas. But again, that coverage is just not enough to really help out with now the suddenly dry weather conditions, and what otherwise is really some beautiful weather. These temperatures, you can't beat them this time of year. We are below average now for about 7 weeks in a row. Yes, we've had some periods in there where it's gotten pretty hot. We've had a few 90-degree days, but it's certainly not been anything extreme, and our nighttime lows have been very comfortable. That continues all the way through tomorrow. So today, we'll reach the 70s at the beaches to the low 80s inland. East winds will increase to 10 to 20 miles per hour quickly this morning with higher gusts, and every once in a while, a shower coming in off the Atlantic. And with that east wind, that means a high rip current risk is going to continue at our beaches, and in fact, for the rest of the week, with the best advice to really not go in the water, and if you do, always near a lifeguard, and with a buddy, whether you're swimming or surfing. It would drop back down to low to mid-60s tonight. A little bit of a surge of northeasterly winds tomorrow offers even cooler temperatures. It'll be in the 70s at the beaches to around 80 inland, a solid 5 degrees or so below average. And then it's the start of a warming trend under partly sunny skies Friday through the weekend. It really is still pretty nice. The humidity is not going to really be much of a problem, so we'll still be cooling off at night. But we're in the low to mid-80s on Friday, mid-80s Saturday, and then we're approaching 90 degrees by Sunday, and that takes us to what appears to be a hot stretch of weather next week and staying mainly dry, but it looks like an extended period, at least several days in a row, and probably more than that, in the 90s. So enjoy the very pleasant temperatures that we've had recently, as late spring, early summer type temperatures, at least, are going to be rearing its head here shortly. So enjoy this little bit of a break that we have had. We, of course, continue to track the wildfire danger that really looks like it ramps up next week. I am concerned about how things look for next week, and it's bad enough right now. I mean, we've dried out in a hurry. It just doesn't take long. We lose a quarter to a third of an inch of moisture from the ground this time of year each day if it doesn't rain. On a sunny day, dry air, low humidity, in other words, gusty winds, it just sucks that water right out of the ground. And we talked about it yesterday. Rich and I did on the air, the Yellow Bluff wildfire. That wasn't until late May last year, 2 years ago rather, near the Duval-Nassau County line that shut down I-95 on and off for several days. That was a late May fire, and it's not uncommon to go into June with wildfires here. Our wet season technically starts in June, but it doesn't mean it's just with the switch of a light type thing in early June. Many times it can sort of stagger, and we get rain a couple days, other days we don't, and it takes a while to get those daily rains, and then the lightning strikes just add to the problem. And we go back to 1998, a year that was very wet the first few months and then turned very dry with a severe wild season, arguably the worst wildfire season in Florida's history, that didn't peak until late June all the way through the 4th of July. That one shut down parts of I-95 from St. Augustine, really from Jacksonville, all the way to Daytona Beach and even south of Daytona Beach. So that burned 500,000 acres and went into early July. So we know what is typical and what is average, but it doesn't mean that things can occur outside of that realm. And my point being, this was a late start to the wildfire season, and we'll just have to see how our wet season goes. But in the interim, through the end of the month now, it looks largely dry and increasingly hot as well. And then also tomorrow of note, NOAA issue its 2021 hurricane season forecast. We've already heard from Dr. Klotzbach at Colorado State University forecasting above average numbers, and NOAA is likely to trend in that same direction. Now, La Nina has largely diminished, and I'll post about that in the Burrish blog this week, and typically that helps us, except it doesn't look like it's going to swing El Nino, which is a warming of the equatorial Pacific and typically cuts down on our Atlantic hurricanes. Doesn't appear we're going that far, so we look to be staying slightly on the cool side to perhaps average, and given everything else that's going on in our atmosphere and the oceans, it would appear that that would lead to a potentially above average season. In any case, we'll hear from NOAA tomorrow, and of course we'll update you accordingly. With all your weather all the time, I'm Chief Meteorologist Mike Burrish for the CBS 47 at Fox 30 Action News Jax First Alert Weather Center for 104.5 WOKV.